What are you doing this very second at whatever age we are in this building to build a legacy of grace that only happens through victory in Jesus Christ? The Word of God tells us, folks, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. When you and I were born, the process of dying began. So what are you doing? I'm not talking about leaving something like financial status. I'm not talking about simply leaving something for someone to remember about us. I'm talking to you this morning about building a legacy, a believer's spiritual legacy, and it can only happen when a person is a genuine, sold-out, blood-bought, born-again servant of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is sitting in an old, drab dungeon of a Roman prison. He's facing the capital charge of insurrection against the Roman government. He's had his preliminary hearing by Nero himself and before Nero, and therefore he is soon to stand before Nero, almost as bad as Domitian the emperor, and hear that fateful verdict to be executed. Now we know Paul is to be executed. We know he's in prison. We don't know when that execution actually took place. But one thing Paul knew as he talked to Timothy and he wrote this letter, that his death was imminent. And so he writes to Timothy because his passion for young Timothy, and he talks to Timothy so much of the time about being a son. We're not sure that he's a blood son, but Paul treated him like his very own son, and Paul had a passion. He wanted Timothy to do as Paul had done since his conversion, that his very breath be that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And so now, here in this chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, as Paul talks to that young Timothy and he tells him how to build a legacy, he tells Timothy that he must go forth, he must preach the word in season and out of season. And he wants young Timothy to live a spiritual legacy through the victory that Paul has had in Jesus, but that Timothy is having in Jesus Christ. And he does it this morning in three ways. The first one is this. Paul talks about his death. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." I hope you have your Bibles open. Open 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Paul saw his physical death as a sacrifice of himself being presented to God. Now that little Greek word, sacrifice, we pronounce it spindomai. It's a striking word. It refers to the drink offering that was presented to God. When a person wanted to make this type of sacrifice in the Old Testament, he took a cup of wine or a cup of oil and poured it out as an offering and sacrifice to God. In the New Testament, that pouring out of that drink symbolized the Lord Jesus pouring out His soul and dying for you and me. So in this first verse, Paul is saying, "I am pouring out my soul through death for the Lord Jesus Christ. The life, the blood of my body is being sacrificed for the preaching of the Word of God. And I am laying my life down as an offering to Jesus Christ, my Lord." Wow! If we could take Jake Hess's advice, death ain't no big deal. Because we are sacrificing, we are giving our life back to the one who created it. I love what William Barclay said. I wrote this down because I wanted to say it to you. He says this, Dr. Barclay says, "Paul did not think of himself as going to be executed. He thought of himself as going to sacrifice himself and offer his life to God. His life was not being taken from him. He was laying it down. And ever since his conversion, Paul had offered to God everything, his scholarship, his money, his strength, his time, the vigor in his body, the acuteness of that incredible mind of Paul who studied under Gamaliel, and the devotion of a man with a passionate heart. Only life itself was left to offer, and Paul was gladly going to lay down his life to Jesus. But then he says something else. He says in that verse, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering." And then the second part of verse 6, "The time of my departure is at hand." A little word in the Greek called analusos. And it literally, to depart, it has the picture of a ship being hoisting its anchor and loosening the mooring ropes that's holding it to the dock and departing for its destination. Paul had been anchored, he'd been tied to this old world, but the anchor and the ropes of this world were about to be loosed, and Paul was about to set sail for heaven itself. That's how Paul saw him being a drink offering. And that's how Paul saw his departure. The word departure also can be pictured like breaking up an encampment. That you've been camping out, you've been a resident, you've been here. And now Paul was fixing to change locations. He wasn't going to be on this earth anymore. You see, he had become a dual citizen at his conversion. A citizen of the country and of Rome, and a citizen of heaven itself. And the word depart there also has the connotation, and was used, that same Greek word was used of unyoking an animal from the burden of a cart or a plow, which had been used to grind the grain and pull the cart. So Paul was to be released from the yoke and burden and labor and toil of this life. He was going to be released and set free to be in the pastures of heaven, that God said, "I am going to prepare a place for you." Paul was leaving a legacy. Paul was telling to Timothy, "Listen, you understand that your life, even in death, is to be committed to God." And Paul said it like this in Philippians chapter 1. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having the desire to part and to be with Christ, which is far, far better." And then Psalm 116, verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Folks, as our Lord brings us to the time of our departure, what are you doing today to leave a spiritual legacy through your personal victory in Jesus Christ? I say at every funeral, we preach that funeral before we get there. We do. But what mark are we going to leave on this earth? Are the people around us going to see our commitment first to Jesus Christ through our life? And then realize that when our time comes, even through the rapture of the church or by our physical death, our life is the Lord's. And He's got it all in control. That's what he told Timothy. He said, "You live like that, Timothy. You live that kind of legacy." But then he said the second thing here. Paul talked about his death, but then in verse 7, he talked about his testimony. You've heard this verse so much. I have fought the good fight, Paul says. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul says, "I fought the good fight." Paul had to respond to the call of Jesus Christ, and he had volunteered to serve the Lord Jesus. He signed up for mission service the very second he invited Jesus Christ into his heart. And if the truth be known, the minute you ask the Lord Jesus in your heart, you signed up for mission service on this earth to do what God told you. Paul said he had separated himself from the world, sacrificing all he had and was to be a soldier. Totally committed. It was a fight. He had suffered, Paul, through great threats on his life and physical harm. But the Bible says he had fought the good fight. I love that word. It's kalos. K-A-L-O-S in the Greek. The word we translate is good. It means honorable, noble, commendable. Paul had fought that honorable fight, that noble fight for Jesus Christ. And he had done exactly what God did, told him to say. And he could victoriously declare, I fought a good fight, because Paul was about to be released from his service as a soldier of the king and released to go home in peace and live in the presence of the Lord Jesus forever and ever. Folks, we're in a fight on this earth. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against rulers of this darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. People say, well, Randy, I just don't know if I believe in demons. You better go back and read the Word. The Bible is very explicit. This battle you and I are fighting on this face of this earth is not physical. It's spiritual. And we're in it 24/7. And Paul says, fight the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Lay hold of eternal life, wherefore thou art called, and you've professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul says, I fought the good fight. But then he says, I finished the race. This is powerful, folks, for it means that Paul had disciplined and controlled his life just like the athlete does the same. These are the words of an athlete here that Paul is using. He controlled what he ate and drank, what he did with his body and mind. He focused upon the course of his life, and he could not run the risk of being distracted by the things of the world and of the flesh. Paul said it in Philippians chapter 3. He says, I press toward the goal, the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Then in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race that is set before us. Wow, Paul says, I've run the race. And then the third thing he tells Timothy, he said, Timothy, I have kept the faith. And this word kept in the New Testament means to entrust. It means something extremely valuable that you entrust to someone else. And Paul says, I've kept the faith. God has entrusted to me faith. When I asked the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart, I believed in Jesus Christ lock, stock, and barrel. He died for me once and for all. That's it. I didn't accept Him back here and then accept Him later as something else. He came in every way without question. Paul says, I kept that faith. You have entrusted that faith to me, and I've kept it in my heart. My arms have been wrapped around it, and I have been entrusted to that faith, and that's what I have shared all my life. And you go back and read the work of the apostle himself, you'll see what he did. What a legacy! What a legacy. Dr. Tom Rainer, who is head of Lifeway. I finished my doctorate under Dr. Tom. And I want to assure you that you have a man who's head of Lifeway who is a daily soul winner to Jesus Christ. He did his doctorate work in evangelism. He wrote and has written many, many books on the growth of the church. And he says the way you grow a church is first by prayer. The second way is you preach the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And the third one, you lead people to Jesus. What a legacy. What a legacy. Wow. And then there's a third thing Paul said in verse 8. He said, you know, in verse 7, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept in that entrusted faith. And then verse 8. It's such a beautiful verse. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those others who love His appearing. Crown of righteousness. A diadem. A crown. A crown that a person receives. What is that crown? What is the Lord talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, when you came to Jesus Christ and you intentionally asked Him to come into your life, He covered you through the blood of His Son from the top of your head to the bottoms of the soles of your feet. We call it in the Scripture, and we use it in doctrinal or theological terms, atonement. God took every sin you would ever commit, and you are covered from the top of your head, from the bottom of the soles of your feet, and the Bible says you are sealed until the day of redemption. Nothing can snatch you. You're not going to lose what God gave you. But can you listen closely to me? The only way you and I in this house can ever stand in heaven before a holy God is not because of anything we've done, but everything God did through Jesus, because He's covered us with His precious, perfect blood. And when God looks at the child of God covered in that blood, God will see perfection, not sin. Because sin will never get into heaven in any way, form, or fashion. And God says, you have the crown of righteousness. God told Paul, guess what? There's a crown of righteousness waiting for you. You don't have to worry about standing before holy God. You don't have to worry about touching an Ark of a Covenant and be killed. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. You're His kid. You belong to Jesus. Folks, I can't be in heaven because I'm a preacher. You can't be in heaven because you're sitting in this pew. You are in the presence of God because you have intentionally invited Jesus Christ in your life, period. And if you haven't, you're as lost can be. And we argue with that, we argue with the book. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says that you will know that Christian, you will know that child of God as a result of His good works on this earth. Folks, what are you doing for Jesus? How is your life making a difference? So many people live such a defeated life and they say, well, little old me, I cannot make any difference whatsoever. You can make a difference. And you are make a difference. I could stand here this morning and tell many of you in this house story after story after story of how you've made a difference in this old man's life. We can make a difference. Paul's reward. He was a soldier for Jesus Christ. He was an athlete for Jesus Christ. He was a good steward and manager of entrusting his faith. And think about it. Paul was going to be given the crown of righteousness by Jesus Christ Himself as he stood in front of God. And that crown of righteousness is not only going to be given to Paul. Bless God, I'm going to get it. You're going to get it if you know Jesus. Folks, let me tell you, that we borderline shouting ground with Baptists on that number. When we understand to realize that we're in the hands of God and the devil and his demons cannot snatch us out. Paul says you have that kind of legacy. Be a soldier for Christ. Be an athlete for Christ and run the race. Be a steward of Christ and be a good manager of the faith that God has entrusted you. And this is the person who loves for and looks for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the person, the Bible says, who knows genuinely that he's born again and will receive that crown of righteousness. How would one describe then this legacy? Paul did it in three ways. Dr. Jim Richardson, who is the executive director of the Southern Baptist of Texas, stood before the entire Texas Baptist Convention and he issued this challenge. This is the legacy I am convinced Paul is talking about to Timothy. And amidst a couple of thousand people, Dr. Richards stood up and he said, I'm a soldier. Here I stand. I'm a soldier, a prayer warrior of the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith and prayer and the Word are my weapons of warfare. He said, I've been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in His army and I'm enlisted for eternity. I will either retire at the rapture or die in His army, but I will not get out, sell out, or be talked out. If God needs me, I'm there. I'm a soldier. I'm a prayer warrior. Here I stand. I'm not a baby. I don't need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or petted up. I'm a soldier, a prayer warrior, Dr. Richards says, "Here I stand. Nobody has to call me, write me, visit me, entice me, bring me flowers, or lure me. I'm a soldier. I'm a prayer warrior. Here I stand. I'm not a wimp. Amen. I'm in place, saluting my King, obeying His orders, praising His name, and building His kingdom. I'm a soldier. I'm a prayer warrior. Here I stand. No one has to send me flowers or gifts or food or cards or candy or give me handouts. I don't need to be cuddled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I can't lose enough to quit. And when God called me in His army, I had nothing. And if I end up with nothing, I'm going to come out even. If I win, my God will supply my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Yeah. But Dr. Richards wasn't finished yet. He said, "I'm a soldier. I'm a prayer warrior. And here I stand. Devils cannot defeat me. People will never disillusion me. Weather cannot beat me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I'm a soldier. I'm a prayer warrior. And here I stand. Here I stand. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to captain and bring me back to rule this world with him. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior, and in the very army of God. And I'm marching on. And this day I'm claiming victory. I'll not give up. I'm not going to turn around because I'm a soldier. I'm a prayer warrior. And I'm heaven bound. Here I stand. To God be the glory." Yeah. And the 2,000 folks at the Texas Baptist Convention stood at their feet and applauded for over 10 minutes what he just said. And Paul puts his arm around Timothy and he says, "I'm already being poured out to drink offering. And the time of my departure, very, very soon. I fought a good fight, Timothy. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. But you know what? There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but all those who love His appearing. Timothy, you go live like this. Olive Springs, let's go live like this. And let's have a victory. Yes. Let's have victory through Jesus Christ as we build and continue to build that spiritual legacy for all to see." Wow. Let's pray. Father, You have delivered Your word to us this morning through music, the spoken word. You have cautioned us. You have challenged us. And now You call us to commitment, to make sure our life is making a difference today. Father, I know all of us in this room, we feel so insignificant. Sometimes we think, how can we, little old us, make a difference? But Lord, I thank You for so many in this congregation who's made a difference in this guy's life and who continues to make a difference in his life. And Lord, I thank You for how You're using these folks to make a difference in this community. I saw it just a couple weeks ago, how You use these adults to make a difference in over 150 young children as they came to Vacation Bible School. I watch them weekly as they come by here for food and lunches. I watch the ministry that takes place throughout this church through giving to the cooperative program and the full missions. And the ministers and those from this church who are now serving on the mission field alone. Lord, I thank You for what You're doing. But Father, don't let us leave here without making our commitment to make a difference, to build a legacy, because people can see we got victory with us. We have Jesus. To God be the glory. Amen. Wow. Amen and amen. This morning, it's Lead Me, Lord. Would you stand to your feet? Would you just commit today? I know you're living that legacy. Many of you in this house, and you're building that legacy. But would you just commit to make that an even greater focus in your life and our, all of us together, like Paul told Timothy? And go home, read 2 Timothy. Read the book of Timothy. I love Paul's advice to that man. But as he sat down, I can just see old Paul with his arm around him, sitting there on the steps, telling this to Timothy. And Timothy was like a sponge. He was just absorbing it. And he did. As you read about Timothy's life and in history, you find out that his life not only made a difference, it made a big difference for the power of God. So our psalm this morning is exactly what we sing, and you know this. Lead me, Lord. Would you sing it with us, and you come, whatever needs to be done at this altar of prayer, as Doug leads us.